great wisdom and your grace and your mercy. Would you speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, draw us to yourself. And Father, if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, draw them to salvation. Let them know God so loved that he gave Jesus. And may they say yes to him today. It's in his wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to have everyone here today. And you're right, we were kind of in the dark last week. But the Lord has blessed us, and we're here this morning. It's good to see you. If you're here and you're visiting this morning, we welcome you as our special guest, and we're glad to have you this morning. As we always do the first thing on Sunday morning worship, we do a hymn sing. And I call it a hymn sing because it indeed goes back to the hymns of the church. And one I picked out today is one I've been humming for the last 2 weeks. It's been on my mind. Do you ever get a song like that and you just get it on your mind and you just keep singing it and keep singing it? Well, that's true with today's music. And so if you would, please, take your hymnals at page 544 or stay with the wall or the board. And we're going to sing Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, verses 1, 2, and 3. As we stand, please. Welcome someone this morning. Well, it is good to be here this morning. I've got some announcements I want to share with you. The first thing I want to share with you is a thank you that we received from the Baptist Children's Home. As you remember, we did a special gift offering to the Baptist Children's Home, and we did $2,390 off gift from you, from offering from you. And we received this thank you, and I'd like to read it in its entirety. As we welcome year 2023, I want you to know, and that you matter. Let me say that again, you matter. I am thankful for your resolute decision to give to the vital ministry of the Baptist Children's Home. God will use your gift and touch many lives this new year. What does that mean? It means wounded hearts will be healed, and boys and girls will be nurtured, protected, and loved. It means that a lonely, aging adult will receive a caring phone call or a visit from a local pastor to check on them. It means that a single mother will have a place to turn to help her raise her child and be the best mom that she can be, because you give and those entrusted to our care have new lives. Lives filled with purpose and purpose and hope. I am grateful and for the generous way in which you have resolved to bless this ministry. I am especially thankful for the new beginnings you will provide for our children and families across the mission fields of North Carolina and beyond. Celebrating new life, Michael C. Blackwell, President and CEO of the Baptist Children's Home. So that's a nice, very nice thank you. And again, thank you all for your love and your concern. Hey, speaking of gifts, I got a nice one today, and I want to say thank you to the young children today. What a nice, I know that Valentine's over, but unfortunately we weren't going to be able to be here because we had no power. But what a sweet gift this is. And when I open, now this is just, everybody should, and when you open it up, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," one wonderful gift, "that he gave his only begotten son," John 3:16. Thank you all. Thank you, Miss Janice, for your direction and all the children that come up. And thank you so much. That's very special. I'll save that, I promise you. I'll eat the candy, though. If you are. That candy won't get home probably with me. I'll have it gone. All right. I have some announcements now for us, further announcements with you, for you as well. I want to remind you now, Wednesday night, we're still here on Wednesday night. I want you to be here in your place if you could. Come and be with us. Let's grow the attendance of Wednesday night service. Pastor Ed continues to challenge us, and we enjoy the challenge. And so you all come and be with us on Wednesday night, please. Golden Agers, now to next Thursday. I want to say Wednesday every time, Brenda. I don't know why. I'll probably show up both days. Thursday, we're going to have our Golden Agers luncheon here at the church, and we're going to have chicken with all the trimmings, and so you all come. Now, if you haven't signed back here, come and please do that, because we're going to determine how much Kentucky Fried we get the colonel to send us, or I'll pick it up. But anyway, so be sure you do that, and so we're going to have a good time in fellowship Thursday at noon here at the church, okay? We'll have a call conference March the 6th. It says, and I'm going to read this from your bulletin, on March the 5th, there will be a call conference to vote on the roof and the handicap wrap. This presentation will be built in by the grounds committee. And I know you've noticed that we do have a leak up there, and I know that's all going to be taken care of. So you all come and let's be here in our places for the call conference, okay? Let's see. Oh, yeah, during February, we'll still be receiving for our local Pregnancy Resource Center. And if you haven't got it, there's the gifts or the envelopes right here at the edge of the piano. And come and pick you up one and be part of that. Be part of that. Now we have Baptist Men's Day. Now, Jeff, you want to speak to that, son?
Yeah, I need to see the Baptist men down front for just 2 minutes. Got to ask you one quick question. But we're going to do breakfast. So you men, and we'll announce the time next week after we get together today. And let everybody know to be there.
Okay.
We've got a group coming. They're called, the name of the group is My Father's Cow, the mission that they do.
What did you say, sir?
My Father's Cows.
My Father's Cows. Okay. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Aren't you proud of me for remembering that, the pastor, how we tied that right together? Okay, bro, that's good.
I got something else, too. We ran into an issue last weekend, as the pastor mentioned. Some folks have just house phones that, if you don't have power, don't work.
True.
We ran into it. It's the first time that I know of it's happened. So my suggestion is if you have a cell phone, give me that cell phone number. If you're okay with it, you can text it to me. My phone number's in the Deacon's family ministry list. Text it to me. I'll get it put in. That way you at least get it. Now, some folks don't even have cell signal. That's what happened with
Tony Ruth.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have got it either way. I don't know what I can do about that. I guess I can run by there.
I, Let's just send a balloon by there. That is a problem, no question, because my phone at my house won't work. If I didn't have a cell phone, I wouldn't have got the message either.
Yep.
Okay.
So please send them to me, and I'll get them put in. If you text it to me, I'll have it. That way I'll make sure I get what you want put in there.
Okay. All right. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked, or do you need to make known? All right, we now go to our prayer request, prayer time. We have quite a few that I have already received, and I want to share those with you now. Remember Roger Tucker, Lionel, that's your brother-in-law, and how's he doing, Lionel? Is he doing better?
He's in rehab now, Trinity.
Yeah. For you that don't know, he had a horrible traffic accident, and so he was in kind of real bad shape at times, so... Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, God's in control. Thank the Lord for his safety. Thank the God he's alive. Let's remember the Henry Anderson family. Henry passed away, and let's remember Lynette and the family there. Miss Nell Jackman, I was told this morning by Kathy that she had an accident there at the facility and that she had to have some stitches, and so let's pray for her that she will be well soon. Let's pray for Kathy. Kathy's not just... is on the sick list this morning with migraines, and she's not feeling well at all. But she showed up early this morning and sick as she could be to do the bulletins. And so that requires an attagirl to Kathy, but also a big thank you. A lot of people just stayed in the bed, but she was here and did that, and we thank her for that. Let's remember Rita's mother. Rita's mother is going to be over in Trinity Place, and let's remember her as she continues to get better. We hope and pray. And then let's remember the Glenn Mullis family. The Glenn Mullis family, where Glenn passed away, was a longtime employee of Jeff and Tool Co. And he helped us many, many times with our barbecue. And Glenn was a hard worker. And so let's pray for that family. Now, are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. He's been put on our prayer list before.
Doug Weaver, okay.
It's a Trinity.
Yeah, that's the one. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Any others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, it is indeed an honor and a glory to be able to be in your house today and to be able to have the freedom of worship. And then, Lord, to be able to worship you and know who we're worshiping. And knowing, dear Lord, that you are true, that awesome Yahweh, the true God, the one and the living God. And we recognize you as that this morning. And then, Lord, we're thankful for this day that you've given us, this Lord's Day, that we can be in your house and that we can worship together and fellowship together. And Lord, we want to ask your blessings upon our service today and everything that takes place here today. Lord, we give you the glory and we give you the praise. But Lord, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help. We ask for your blessings. But then, Lord, there are those that we need to mention specifically to you, Lord, that needs you today, needs healing, and needs a touch from your hand. We pray for Roger Tucker this morning as he is convalescing at Trinity Place. We pray for him. We pray for the Henry Anderson family, for Lynette, Lord, as she has lost her husband of many, many years. We ask your blessings upon Miss Nell this morning as she is convalescing after her accident. We pray for her. We pray for Kathy this morning that she will be feeling better soon with the migraine headaches that she has. We pray for Rita's mom, Lord, as she will be over in Trinity Place. We pray for her. We also pray for the caregivers that, Lord, we'll be helping her. We pray for Rita. We pray for strength and for courage. We pray for peace. And then for the Glenn Mullis family, as Glenn has passed away, we pray for the entire family. And Doug Weaver, we lift him up to you today, Lord. We ask for healing of his body as he is in Trinity Place as well. We pray for him. And now, Lord, we'll be very, very careful to thank you for all you do. And Lord, many, many times we need to thank you before we ever ask you, because you're thankful. The things you've done are so huge and so great. So now, Lord, we ask you to bless Pastor Ed today. We pray, Lord, that you continue to give him strength and courage. We thank you, Lord, for the peace you've given him in his heart. And we ask that you bless him today as he comes and presents our message to us today. And these blessings I pray, Lord, in your name. Amen. As I told you, I've had the Redeemed on my mind all week and the last 2 weeks, the song, the name Redeemed. And I just keep saying thank God for the fact that I'm redeemed. What does redeemed mean to you? Well, to me, it's you're bought and paid for by a price, by his precious blood. Bring that verse up, Jeff, if you would, please, in Ephesians. And I was reading this, and I saw this verse, and it continued on with my theme. And Ephesians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the richness of his grace. Indeed, we are bought and we're paid for by his blood, and we are redeemed, or we are forgiven by that. And that's what this song says. It's a brand new song. You've never sung it with me before. Stand with me, please, and let's sing and share together. That's okay. You're fine. We'll learn this the way we always do, with the video and the words to go. Okay? Here we go.
Best I am unworthy.
Children, you are dismissed.
I pray that every person here that's old enough can say, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That if this were the last day of your life, if the trumpet were to blow, or whatever, you'd go straight to glory. Amen. Not because of how good you are, or what all you've done, but because of how good Jesus is, because he died on the cross and took your place, and you said, I accept it. Amen. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad his mercy is due every morning? There's a lot of days I use up all that he gives me, and I'm glad for a new batch every morning. How many of you remember in school? Oh, that's too long ago, preacher. Either reading or having the teacher read to you the story of Rip Van Winkle. Some of you do. You remember old Rip went to sleep, woke up, and he thought he'd been napping for about an hour. Didn't realize he'd been asleep for 20 years. And while he was asleep, The Revolutionary War had happened, and he went down to his local tavern to go and get his usual quick fix. And he started talking about King George, and boy, he was in trouble big time. His whole world had changed, and he didn't even realize it. I've been thinking about that in some ways. It sort of hit me sometime this fall. I was watching a college football game, and ads kept coming on, and I thought, you know, I'm in a sleep. I just woke up, and it seems like to me there's 20 new drugs that I've never heard of, and there are at least 20 new ailments that I'd never heard of either. It's like somewhere or another they've invented all of these things, and the drug to go with it. I mean, you know, you got a rash on your lip, take this drug. Now be careful, you may swell up and die, but you need to talk your doctor into having this drug. I mean, it's crazy. And you know, don't many of us feel this way spiritually and nationally? It's like we went to sleep with Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver. And suddenly we wake up and it's gay marriage and trying to get the kids to change their orientation and violence and crime in the streets and in churches, all kinds of religious things going on that weren't going on whenever we went to sleep. churches that don't believe the Bible anymore, that don't preach the Bible anymore, that have this exception and that exception, and just a whole different world that we suddenly woke up in. I mean, it's like, you know, last week, for some reason, I guess I went to get more popcorn or something. I missed both of the ads that were exalting Jesus on the Super Bowl. But then, you know, some people got just bent out of shape that somebody would dare talk about Jesus in an ad. And then I was looking at on my phone one day this week, and some organization, I'm not even sure it's a Christian organization, but it was an organization, and I believe in South Dakota, they put out the news that they discovered that children that grow up in families where there's a mom and a dad who are male and female, who are married to one another, those children do better than children in other type homes. And some politician got all bent out of shape and said, that's just totally blasphemous, that's disastrous, and that's un-American. When did it get to be un-American to have a mom and a dad and kids growing up in a normal home? I'm thinking, what planet did you just land from, guy? And you see, with all of these things going on, it'd be easy to get discouraged. And the devil likes us to get discouraged. But if you know your Bible, you can read the discouraging things in the Bible. You can see the discouraging things in the headlines, and yet still be encouraged. And it occurs to me that we need to remind ourselves from time to time that the devil has always tried to corrupt the church. Oh, we read those first few verses, first few chapters in Acts, and we think, you know, they were all together in one accord and everybody had everything in common and they looked after each other's needs, and if there's somebody hungry, they fed them and they did everything that need. And somehow or another, we get the picture of a church. It was perfect. No problems. But yet when you read your New Testament, you read that the devil has been trying to corrupt the church from the beginning. Turn with me, Gospel of John, chapter 2, and we'll read a couple of verses, verses 18 and 19. Chapter 2, first John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John. That's over near the end of the New Testament. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Little children, is the last time, and as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. And if you flip over in my Bible, it's just one page, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now John was saying, listen, and this is at the very beginning. I mean, he was one of the original 12 disciples. And even though he was probably an old man, and this may have been written 50, 60 years after the time Jesus ascended back into heaven, it was still relatively early in the life of the church. And John says, look at the false prophets. Look at the Antichrist, those who are against Christ. Look at what's going on in the church. And then now flip over a few more pages to the book of Revelation. You remember those letters that the risen Christ gave to John in Revelation, and he writes to those seven churches? Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 6. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Okay, And the Nicolaitans were a group that came in with a heresy. And Jesus says, church, you're blessed because you hate that heresy and I hate that heresy. Verse 9, I know thy works, the tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of some that say they are Jews, but they are not, but they're the synagogue of Satan. Now that's pretty strong words. He said these people say that they're Jews, but said they're from the devil's synagogue. They're from the devil's church. Verse 14 and 15 of chapter 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast there them also that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Well, you know, Balaam tried to get the children of Israel into sexual sin. Again, another heresy in the early church. Going over to verse 20 and following. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that committeth adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Again, sexual sin and other types of heresy that were going on in the church. In other words, it was not a pretty picture. If you flip over to chapter 3, now these, you know, I'm not telling you which church each one dealt with, but each one of these churches in those first two chapters, he's dealing with and talking about their sin and the sin that they tolerate. In chapter 3, verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And then verses 15 and following. I know thy works, that thou art hot, neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The point I'm making is that from the day one, the devil endeavored his best to pollute the church, to infiltrate the church with heresy, with sinful practices, with things that are wrong. And if you remember one of the parables that Jesus told, he tells a parable about a farmer that goes out and sows good seed in his field. But lo and behold, after a while, they begin to look and they say, something's different about this crop. We can tell that these are good grain stalks, but this looks like weeds. This looks like something that's not right. And they said, and it's all through the field. How did it get here? And Jesus says, an enemy sowed it. Jesus warning us beforehand that there was going to be times when in the church the devil was going to try to sow sin and heresy. And that could discourage us to know. And Jesus says, my Father's going to straighten it all out at the end. He said, there's going to come a day when my Heavenly Father's going to straighten it all out. He's going to be able to separate the weeds from the good grain, and the good grain will be saved, the weeds will be burned. Now, the point I'm wanting us to look at is this. If this is all we knew, we'd say, why bother? We'd be concerned. We'd be discouraged. But you remember in Matthew and the other Gospels where Jesus on one day said, who do people say I am? And they said, some say you're Isaiah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the others. And he says, then who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus then goes on to tell him, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The one thing that we need to remember over and over and over again when the world is falling apart around us, when we see even in the church sometimes things that aren't right, in the end we win. In the end, God is on the throne. In the end, Jesus is honored. Turn with me now over to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 20. You know, at times the church has been strong. At times the church has been weak over the last 2,000 years. At times the church has had revival and has had spells of relatively purity. At times the church has been corrupted and went through times of decline. But guess what? 2,000 years later, the church is still here. The church is still here. Very interesting. Around 1970, a few of you old enough to remember that, at Asbury College in Kentucky, there was a great move of God. Great move of God. And they had revival services. They just canceled classes, and the move of God went on and on and on for days. Well, you know, over a period of time, that sort of went away. Well, I have a pastor friend that went to Asbury, and he texted me this week and said, it's happening again. He said, it's happening again at Asbury College in Kentucky. Said, there's a move of God. Said, people are coming, kids are coming from other universities, gathering there. And, you know, three or four lines on a text was all he sent me. So I don't know the extent of it. But God is doing it again. And throughout the history of the church, God has worked and brought revival. In America, we've had the Great Awakenings. And I saw a little thing again on my phone just to listen. The church is due a revival. We are due a new move of God where God begins to get the hearts of people. God begins to deal with folks as he's not done in 150 years. Almost 200 years now since the last Great Awakening. But still there were times like in the early 1900s and then around 1950 when God did works, great works of revival in America. And so we are due once again a move of God. We can look at the news and we can grow discouraged. We can look at our God and look at our Bibles and be encouraged. Be excited about what God is doing and going to do. Revelation 20, verse 10. And this ought to cause you to shout. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's not going to be around here forever to bug you and torment you and tempt you and test you and bring you trials and troubles. God's going to deal with him.
God already dealt with him in the past when he kicked him out of heaven. I realize that there are Satan worshipers that think that the decision hadn't been made yet. Hey, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Y'all may remember a newsletter that I wrote almost at the beginning. It's like the devil and the Lord stepped into the ring, and the devil says, I'm taking you on. And God, before the devil could even blink and get his fist up, God had already knocked him clean out of the ring, out of heaven, down to the earth. Bam, gone. That doesn't mean he's still not harassing us, but he's defeated. And then whenever you read in the New Testament that at the resurrection, Jesus totally defeated Satan. He says, I have the keys of hell and heaven and death. Satan totally defeated. And then Paul says, if they had known what was going to happen, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have done that to Jesus if they'd have known how bad a defeat he was going to bring them. They thought they were going to win, and they were dancing around between Friday and Sunday morning, but Sunday morning they found out we're on the losing end. And Satan is the loser, always has been a loser, and will be a loser for all of eternity. Hey, if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you're a winner. Amen. You're on the winning team. You may be the star quarterback on the winning team, or you may be just a bench warmer, called on from time to time. But you're still on the winning team. You're still on the team that's going to win, and the devil's on the team that's lost. Look at chapter 21, verse 8 of Revelation. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who have rejected Jesus, lost for all of eternity. But go back to 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and shall I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Wow. God says, I'm going to bless you beyond measure. He was showing John the glory that we cannot begin to imagine of the victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ought to get Leonard to jump up here and sing Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. We do have victory in Jesus. And that is wonderful. And then when you look at chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, when the devil comes to you and says, you're wasting your time going to church, you're wasting your time serving Jesus, look at the condition of the world. You're not having any effect. Why would you give any money to a losing cause? You need to pick up your Bible and say, devil, here's where you're going to end up. And here's where I'm going. And just want to remind you, devil, of the future. You're going to a place that's not going to be so nice, and I'm going to be to a wonderful place. I'm going to a glorious place. And I'm not going to have any more tears. I'm not going to have any more sorrow. I'm going to be with my Lord and my Savior forever and ever. I've got a lot of favorite verses of Scripture, but one of my favorites is this. There's coming a day that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow. The things in heaven, the things in earth, the things under the earth, every knee will bow and say, Jesus is Lord. And it brings glory to God the Father. Every knee bow. Oh, you know, some of us have been bowing our knees to Jesus most of our lives, from time we were little kids. We got saved in church, Bible school, Sunday school, we got saved and we've been bowing our knees. But even those who have shook their fist at Jesus, even those who get mad at Jesus commercials, even those that ridicule the Bible, they'll be gritting their teeth and in anguish, but they'll be bowing and Jesus is Lord. They'll have to say it. Praise God that you're victors. Praise God that you are on the winning team. It may look like we woke up to a world that's falling apart. But folks, we looked to a world that's far greater. And in the meantime, we pray and we strive for that revival. A lot of friends that I have that are far more biblically astute than I am believe that there's coming a great end time revival and end time harvest of souls just before Jesus comes. May it be so. May it be so. How wonderful it'd be to be a part of that kind of experience. A preacher friend of mine went with a group to South Korea. And after like a 10-day crusade, they baptized folks. And I think he had to baptize, you know, to do his part. He had to baptize like 500 people on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm glad he's younger and stronger than I am, because I don't know if I could do that 500 times without some backache or something. But God is moving. God is moving all around the world. And just because social media and the regular media is saying the church is dying, not God's church. God's church is thriving. John says there's some that left. Yeah. They weren't real believers anyway. But God's church is victorious. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to leave here encouraged. Every time you start, the devil starts to discourage you, just pull out your Bible and read those last few chapters of Revelation and point out to him his end and your end his destruction, your glory, and say, devil, I trust my God. I trust my Savior. I'm on the way to glory. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? If there's anybody here that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just stand up right where you are and walk down the aisle? And I'll meet you there and we'll talk about your being a part of that winning team. Come for any other reason, we invite you to come. Father God, as we bow before you this morning, I thank you for the assurance that we have in our heart that we win. Not because of our strength, but because of our great Savior. Thank you, Father, that throughout the history of the Bible, there were times it seems like the devil's crowd was on top, but eventually you were always honored and worshiped and praised. And Father, we thank you that we can have the assurance of that happening in our own life. Father, we pray for an end time revival, an end time harvest of souls. And Father, I pray that we here at Barbers Grove can be a part of it. Lord, show us what we need to do to glorify Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And men, remember, Jeff wants to see you down front. Thank y'all for coming.